I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Hello, Miss Marissa.
Hi, how are you?
I am terrific. How about you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the summer. We're getting towards the end of July, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, how could the summer be half over?
I really don't know. And it's funny, this weekend we'll be celebrating my cousin's wedding, and she had a very long engagement. I think it was about 2.5 years.
Wow.
So it was very, you know.
That is long.
But she booked the date like 2.5 years ago, and it was one of those things, like, it felt like it was never going to come. And
right.
Now it's like, here it is, and I'm so excited for her and her soon-to-be husband, and I'm in their wedding, so I get to celebrate with them.
Good.
And
that's exciting.
Yeah, but it also means that July is flying for me, so.
It's flying by. And so here's one of my major problems. My engine is still not in my boat.
Oh, no. I didn't want to ask.
but tonight after dinner, my son Jeremy and I are going to go put the engine back in the boat. There's certain things we can't, it's all rebuilt. There's certain mm-hmm. things we can't put on the engine till the engine's in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't be able to fire it up tonight, but at least it will be in the boat. So mm-hmm. my hope is, now also next week, I'm going to be at our annual church conference. So I will be recording in Virginia like I have the last few years.
Yep.
But my hope is that when I get back, it has to run. Because actually the last full weekend of July is the Antique Boat Show in Skinny Atlas. So everybody, when you know, if you're listening to this, you've got another few days
mm-hmm.
till the Antique Boat Show. Because it's the last full weekend in July. You need to go to Skinny Atlas and see the amazing boats.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, if our listeners go out there, they're going to know, did my engine run? Because if my engine runs, the boat's in the show. If my engine doesn't,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm not going to go paddling it down from the launch. It's too big to paddle.
Yeah.
But I got to get it done because summer's almost half over.
Mm-hmm. And,
well, you know what I'm going to do? I have some vacation time I have not scheduled. And I'm just going to, once I hear that engine roar back to life, I'm going to book some extra days and I'm just going to make up for it.
Yeah, that's great.
Got to do it. You got to mm-hmm. make hay when the sun shines and take the boats out when there's no ice on the lake. So.
Yep.
Not that there's ice anytime soon, but we actually, we didn't start this recording to talk about weddings and boat shows, did we?
No, we did not.
So we're probably going to talk about communication styles mm-hmm. again. And so it's a continuation from last week. And this week, the email post that I put out this morning said, why didn't you say something? And the reality is that a lot of us, if we're a high D or a high I behavior profile, we think that things go much better than they actually do because our high S's and our high C's, high steadiness, high compliance, don't speak up. So the example I gave was we had a meeting. We thought that the team was getting along really well and people had put aside all their little differences and everybody voiced their concerns and we had a plan to move forward. And then after the meeting, there's what I refer to as the meeting after meetings, where all of a sudden the little clicks just seem to pop up and people are talking about issues that never came up in the meeting. Well, the D is all upset because he's saying or she's saying, hey, wait a minute, I thought we decided all this. And then they'll actually, if they're a high D, say, and really, who cares? Because we made a decision, we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the I, he or she's so stunned that people didn't speak up and they can't understand why. And now they wonder, do we have to delay the decision? And maybe I should go meet with a bunch of people. And well, let's have another meeting and let's order food because people interact better when there's food. And when the whole problem was they didn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Your S is very reserved. So just as a reminder, the S, the high steadiness, they are relationship focused and reserved. And the C's, the compliance, they are task focused and reserved. And oftentimes, if we do not ask them, they will not speak up. And shame on us that are facilitating the meetings when we don't. Now, there is one thing that that people sometimes misunderstand. When I say you need to ask them, don't call them out in a meeting unless they know they might be called out. Like, you could say things like, you know, Marissa, do you have anything to share on this topic? That's not calling somebody out. Or do you have any ideas? Or what are we, you know, one of the great questions that I learned from John Maxwell was this simple one. What am I missing? So you could say to somebody that you know might be more introverted or reserved, say, you know, Marissa, what am I missing here? That's a non-threatening way to do it. If the people that are your high S's and your high C's continually don't share, you may need to meet with them one-on-one before the meetings to say, I need your input. And I am going to call on you because we're missing out. So if we look at the percentages, I think 69%, I think that might be the latest number I saw, of our workforce are S's.
Wow.
So we're guaranteed to have them in our meetings. Mm-hmm. And I think the C's are somewhere in the low teens.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but they're in our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think about it, we take our C's and our S's, we're at probably 78, 79, maybe even 80% of the people, 8 out of 10, aren't going to be communicating as effectively as we'd like them to. So let's talk a little bit about what these specific communications are going to be like. And, you know, so communicating with an S, we got to make sure that we create a friendly tone for the discussion. Now this gets difficult because your D's, if you've got a couple D's in the room, they will be discussing things loudly. They're not angry, they're just discussing things loudly, and it creates tension for the S's. We also need to make sure with our S's that we're showing interest in them as a person. They even in the meetings, they have to realize that they matter to us. And we have to be careful to not be overly aggressive. So the question I'm going to ask you is, what, in some meetings you've been in, what has caused people to become aggressive? What types of things might cause aggression in a team?
Disagreement.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, kind of lack of ownership, I guess, or accountability.
Oh, yes. Yep. Good.
Someone to become aggressive in a meeting. You know, just like, I think just differing viewpoints, I'd say, is what really comes to mind.
So let's use the differing viewpoints one. That's critical for us. Mm-hmm. We need to get these differing viewpoints out.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're passionate about what we do, and a high performing team is extremely passionate
mm-hmm.
about what they do, so that inherently brings with it some, maybe aggressive is a strong word, but assertiveness mm-hmm. might be a better word. And confrontation. So we have to understand when we're leading these discussions that we may need to minimize as much of the confrontation as possible and kind of almost mediate the conversation. The other thing that's really important for S's is to really give a specific definition of the goal and each person's role with that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things I remember reading some years ago is if we want to increase innovation, we need to have a very narrowly defined scope that we try to innovate in. And that almost sounds counterintuitive, but people can come up with more ideas if we define the boundaries of where we'd like them to think. The same thing happens, you know, with our meetings and our goals. Let's get it defined. Let's get a more specific focus. And that in and of itself can minimize some confrontation. We also need to make sure with our S's, so our S's don't like to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
They need time to think about it. So this is really a critical time for us to make sure that we have a really good agenda for the meeting. Specifically, what are we going to talk about? I think it's important, too, to have timelines, you know, a time of the meeting. When does it start? When does it stop? That's actually going to help your eyes more than anybody else, because we have a tendency to go off on a tangent.
And probably to send that out ahead of time, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, if we send it out ahead of time, yeah, they can plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
They can really see, you know, it's not a surprise when they get to the meeting. So some of the things that can be hindering factors when we're dealing with an S, the first one is just going too fast. And I'm terrible at that. I typically start a conversation or a meeting and I fly through them. And there's times when I've actually said, wow, you know, hey, I did a great job. We got this meeting done. And well, the few times that I've been asked to do our staff meetings at work, and you know, I get them done in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we probably didn't cover a whole lot. You know, maybe I was rushing the S's because I know we've got quite a few S's on our team. So just slow down, take a deep breath. You know, if you're a person that rushes, have a glass of water, have a cup of coffee, kind of use that to pace yourself.
Yeah.
The loud and emotional interactions, you know, sometimes you're, and so I picked on the D's. Well, eyes are just as guilty
mm-hmm.
of loud interactions, having too much fun, laughing too much, you know, too many side conversations and jokes that are going back and forth. I'm really guilty.
I say I'm really guilty.
Yeah. That has a, you know, because my I is pretty high and mm-hmm. my, you know, S should be for sense. No, it shouldn't. I'm just kidding. But my sense is pretty low. I don't have good sense and my I is really high. So that's not good. Another thing is being shallow with your answers. So, you know, if an S is asking questions and I'm shallow in my answers, they're going to stop asking questions. And if they give me some feedback and I dismiss it, they're not going to offer any feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really this sincerity piece. If I don't have an answer, it's okay to say, you know, I don't have an answer. Can I get back to you on that? And they're going to be fine with it. Again, don't be pushy, too assertive or confrontational. And this is one that's interesting here, one of the notes, and I know you have the same page I do, is mm-hmm. Bad-mouthing other employees or team members. So S's are extremely loyal. And anything that they perceive as us not being loyal is going to hurt our relationship. And I, when I do the teaching on this, I say, you don't have to be the person that makes the negative comments, but if you allow the negative comments to be made, the other team members that are S's think you're condoning it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I tell people, don't, you don't have to say, hey, stop. You just say, hey, we're not going to go down that road. Just, you know, politely shift the topic and move on. Now, if you've got folks that continually go after other employees or talk bad about other employees, you may need to have, well, you should be having a one-on-one with them saying, hey, that's terrible. You know, we're not going to talk about that or talk like that about our coworkers. So those are our keys for our S's. We got to keep it quieter, a little bit more reserved, but yet personal. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week. Do you know if I mentioned last week about my plant manager who was a high S? Did I talk about that last week and his headaches?
I think, see, I know you've told me this, and I don't know if it was on the podcast or not.
So I'm going to say it again. Just because I think it's worth noting. So I had a plant manager who was Mark Spencer, the best plant manager I have ever had at CellFlock. The guy was awesome. And I noticed that I hired him right around January, and we get busy in April, March, April timeframe. And whenever we would get busy, our delivery dates would start to slip. You know, it was just that the orders hit so fast that we simply didn't have manpower to keep up with them all the time. And we would try to build ahead as best we could. And I kept noticing that Mark just seemed so relaxed about these delivery dates. And so I even said to my wife, I'm not sure he's going to make it because he just doesn't seem to care. He doesn't have any urgency, no fire in his belly. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, as an eye, I was using all kinds of these, you know, intense descriptive terms. And then one Monday he comes in and he just looked awful. I said, Mark, are you okay? He goes, Dave, I'm not. He says, I haven't slept, you know, all weekend. And I've been having these headaches and I get headaches when I'm stressed. And he says, I'm so worried about these orders that are late.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was trying to hurry him up saying, hey, where's this? Where's that? What's going on here? Just basically tightening the screws on this guy and making him feel much worse than he already was feeling. All I needed to say was, Mark, you know, are you okay with these late orders? What's going on? And he would have told me, no, I'm not okay. And then I would have said, what can I do to help you? But instead, I didn't think he was getting it. So and Mark is a super high S. And that's what made him an amazing plant manager. You know, the best plant manager I had ever hired, ever. But I was the problem, not him, because I wasn't asking him, hey, how are you doing? So with your S's, make sure you check in with them. Make sure you're asking them, how are you doing today? Is everything okay? When they come into a meeting, you know, just smile and nod. Say something like, glad you're here. You know, and if they're quieter than normal after the meeting, say, is everything okay? Because that's going to be really important for your S's.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about our C's, our high compliance folks. They need details. They need lots of details. And if you're a D or an I and you think you have given them too much, double it. You still haven't given them too much. Because they need it. They find their security in the information that they have. Make sure that the facts that you're giving them are all validated. It's not an opinion. It's not what somebody thinks. It's this is data that they can verify with some sources that they respect. If you're going to explain something, be extremely precise when you do it. They know, they can tell when you're winging it. Don't worry that you're being too specific. They like the specificity of it. You know, when you give instructions to a C, you can't give them too much. They will appreciate every bit of detail that you can give them and instruction you can give them. Be patient with them. So in the meeting, so here would be a scenario that I think could cause a problem in our meeting. And so in my fictitious meeting, probably what happened was something like this. One of the C's said, well, as I think about this information, and then there's this pause that seems to be forever, I'm concerned that we may not have considered, and the fact that they were talking so slowly, a D said, oh, come on, can't we just make a decision here? Why do we have to discuss everything forever? And right there, the C said, yeah, it's okay, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And the S is realizing, don't ever speak up. Because if you do, you're going to get attacked. That wasn't at all what was meant. But for our C's, they're going to be slower to speak. They're going to want to follow through on things. They're going to look for additional information. They're going to ask for more clarification. And we simply need to know that that's just them being them. And the benefit of it is, and this is something that I said when I did my teaching down in Watkins Glen, and I know I said it last week, but you can't say this too much. The people that annoy us the most are the people that we need the most in our lives. So people that are always looking for more information drive me crazy. And the reason they drive me crazy is because I don't pay attention to information. And that's exactly why I need them in my life. I need somebody that dots all the I's and crosses all the T's. So what's going to hinder our interactions with our C's? Loud emotional interactions, again, similar to the S's. Getting too personal if we don't know them. One of the things you need to think about with your C's is imagine a 36-inch radius around them. Don't encroach on their space. It just makes them uncomfortable. You know, I'm a hugger kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only in an HR-appropriate way, of course, as Patty, our coworker, would say. But I'm a hugger. I can't help it. Well, I got to be careful who I hug. I got to be careful whose shoulder I put my hand on because it's not appropriate. And some people just, it makes them uncomfortable. So if you're an I, be careful. Also, again, being shallow with answers to questions. If they're asking me a question, there's a reason they're asking me the question. And I can't blow it off. I've got to take some time and say, you know what? I don't know. Let me get back to you on that. And that is something that they would really value. The other thing is not following rules and procedures. And people say, well, of course we always follow rules and procedures. Well, I don't always follow rules and procedures. And in one of the examples that I like to give in my classes, especially if I got a lot of folks from manufacturing facilities, safety glasses must be worn out in the shop at all times. That's an OSHA requirement.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just going to run out to shipping and we're not going to go outside the aisles. So my street glasses that don't have side shields, well, it's good enough. No, it's not. I need to have safety glasses. I need to have side shields, that type of thing. So those are the kind of things that we kind of take shortcuts and things, and, you know, bucking the system, you know, just finding ways to circumvent because it's easier. It'll drive them nuts. And then shooting from the hip, making a decision based on, and so the D's and the I's actually, and I'm going to make a kind of bold statement. They're good at shooting from the hip. And most of the time they hit the target because they're comfortable with it. But your C's think that that's a really risky thing to do. So in your meetings, if you're shooting from the hip, if you're saying, well, I would think that based on my experience, I don't think the market's going in this direction. Or I think this is the best thing we could do. Well, how do you know that? I just a gut feel. No. It can't fly. Now, what you could say is this. So, I know we don't have any quantifiable data on this. But my intuition tells me, based on my years of manufacturing experience and my awareness of what this project's going to be like, that this is very probably going to be the outcome. Your C's are going to respect that because you gave them validated stuff. Based on my experience, what I've seen, my number of years, they're okay with that. But you're saying, nah, I just kind of figure this is, yeah, it's worth the risk. Let's go for it. You got to tell them why you think it's worth the risk. And so those are just kind of the things that I think get us tripped up with our C's and our S's in our meetings. And because they're such, so if we look at what are we missing? So here's what we're missing if they clam up. We're missing how the team feels, how people are connected or disconnected emotionally. We're missing all of the critical data that's going to validate whether or not we're going in the right direction. And we're missing the plans and procedures and processes to implement what we need to do. So by having our S's and our C's clam up, we're going to sink our ship. Now all the D's are saying, oh, that's not true. And the I's are saying, that's terrible. What can we do about this? Let's all go out to lunch and talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. You know, these it's, and so now I'm going to ask you some questions that I didn't tell you about.
Oh, joy.
Which I do every week anyways.
I know.
So why do you think we have so much trouble interacting, like even when we know these behavioral things, why don't we just do it on a regular basis? Why aren't we aware of it like we should be?
So I mean, for me, sometimes it's hard to think that quickly.
Right.
It's always, I like to be prepared. So
yep.
when you have a better idea of who's in the room, of course, I think you can assess like how you need to behave in the meeting, I guess, or how you need to respond
right.
to others, but that's
right.
not always the case. Or if it's someone that you don't know very well, then
yes.
if you've only interacted with them a couple of times, it may be difficult to assess
right.
what, you know, profile they closely fit with. You might be able to
yeah.
determine if they're introverted or extroverted, and that gets you somewhere.
Right.
But I think sometimes it can be hard.
Yeah,
or if you have
right.
a new, and then there's the dynamics of the team, which even
right.
if you do know how everyone, you know, leans behaviorally, when you put them all together in a room, I think you also
exactly.
get a different dynamic. And then if you add a member or remove a member, it changes things for sure.
Exactly. Oh, you hit the nail on the head with all of those. You hit multiple nails on the head with that. You know, that. It's the dynamics. Are they new? Is somebody missing? Did we add somebody in? Certain topics are much more emotional than others
mm-hmm.
for us to talk about mm-hmm. as a team. And you know, we too often we just don't take the time to think about who's in the meeting. I think if I was going to look for one, give one bit of advice of what you really need to be careful of the most, it's this. Is there anybody in the group that isn't speaking up?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, find out why. That's really the simplest thing. If they're in the room and they're not speaking up, find out why. And if you have folks in the room that are talking too much, they're going to be a deer and I, and you're going to have to find a way to back them down. Because just that chattiness or, you know, verbal expression, I don't know, I'm trying to not come up with a good enough way to put it. The people that talk too much will also shut people down.
Right.
Take it from a person that's been that person that's talked mm-hmm. too much mm-hmm. and has had to really work on tools to help me not talk so much. So that's it. And if we, you know, if we take last week's and this week's podcast and put it together, if you just, you know, take some time to think about those key points that we identified, you're going to have better meetings and you're going to get better results coming out of those meetings.
Right. Right. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was also going to just remind again, if you missed last week's episode, you're probably like, what is this D&I stuff you're talking about?
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that episode. And that's the first half of this. We didn't intend for it to be a two-parter, but we got chatty.
We got chatty. I talk too much. Yeah. So you're going to want to listen to episode 108 mm-hmm. as well as episode 109.
Yep.
So. Yeah, and you know, as I was giving my dates, so this episode is actually, so for my folks, you can tell where my brain's going. I'm going back to the boat show. They actually have a week and a half before the boat show.
Because the boat show is what, the 26th, 27th?
Whatever, the last full weekend in July. Yeah, so I think it's like
27th. 27th is the Saturday, so I guess 27th.
Yeah, so on the 26th. So here's just some exciting news.
This is not sponsored.
This is not sponsored by the Finger Lakes Chapter of the Antique and Classic Boat Society. Friday evening, the boats should all be in the docks in Skinny Atlas. My guess is usually everybody's there by about 5 o'clock. There's the community band, Skinny Atlas Community Band, plays in the gazebo on Friday night. That's always really nice. And then Saturday, The boats typically all stay in the docks until about, I think at about 3 o'clock is what they call a boat parade, where all the boats come out and they parade in front of the park there. And then they also, those that are able to, will do what they call a flyby. So once all the boats have passed the park, then they all congregate out on the east side of the lake, and then they come by the end of the jetty at full speed, which is kind of cool. And then Sunday as well, the boats are all pretty much in the docks most of the day. There's a little bit of time when they go out and they do some, take some pictures and stuff like that. But it's a fun weekend. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Skinny Atlas is an amazing place.
Yes, it is a lot of fun.
You know, when my wife and I were down in Watkins Glen, you know, there, it was a beautiful place, but you know what? It's not Skinny Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
So I just encourage people to do that. Even if my boat's not there, but it might be. We'll see.
I hope so. I like to see it.
I hope so, too, because I like to be in it. Mm-hmm. No. So we already talked about what's going on, and I'm going to be on vacation down at my church conference, mm-hmm. but we still will record, so don't be afraid. There will be a podcast next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
And should we tell people what it's about?
Go for it.
Okay. This, I won't give the title yet, but this is a key to being a better leader. You have to listen to next week's podcast.
Sounds good.
How's that for a teaser?
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.